Before we begin our lesson this morning, I want to take just a minute. As I said to those of you just a few moments ago, after making the trip on Thursday to go to the doctor and being gone about nearly 12 hours, then Levi and I had planned to go to yesterday. I didn't go. Earlier in this past week, another dear friend of mine passed away and his funeral service was yesterday morning. His name was Ken Hope. He was the son-in-law of Johnny Ramsey, who was one of the men that helped me to get more interested in studying deeper in the Word of God. Kenny preached for many years, was a faithful servant, a wonderful man, and his presence will be missed by me. Last Sunday morning, I introduced into our thinking again a verse found in Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah is the prophet who is doing his best to get God's people to wake up before it's too late. They have already watched their brethren, the northern kingdom of Judah, be carried away into Assyrian captivity. And Jeremiah is now telling the children of Judah, if you don't change your ways, if you keep walking like Israel did, God's going to let you be carried away into captivity. We know that they did not respond favorably and eventually were carried away into Babylonian captivity. But what sad words we find in the 6th chapter in the 16th verse. When Jeremiah says, the Lord said, come walk in the old paths, wherein is the good way? And they said, we will not. We were talking about that in class this morning, and it's a question that's asked me quite often. Why is it that our world today is so divided as a nation? Why are people so divided religiously? Why is there so much anger, so much hate, so much violence in our world? And if you really want the answer, there it is. Long ago, people had already learned the art of saying, it doesn't matter what God wants. What God wants us to do, what God wants us to believe, we will not. Do you like memories? There's some memories I wish I didn't have. How many of you have good memories? Any of you have good memories? Things you remember that bring a smile to your face? That good times, good people. I know in my life, there are a lot of things I remember so fondly. One of the things I remember is the day I was baptized. To me, that was a great day. And I try to remember it often as a day of beginning, a new beginning. Try to put away the old man and the sins of the world and be a different person. There are three other days in my life that are absolutely wonderful memories. I don't know, not many people, I'm sure, have ever had the privilege to baptize all three of their kids in the Christ. But over a period of a few years, I had that privilege. Mine. And those are great memories. to know that they knew enough to know what it took in order to be a Christian and to walk with the Lord. To know that at least we had taught them enough that they had hope and a way to a better life here and eternal security in the world to come. As I have said many times, probably no fonder memories do I have than when I came to a place called Bethel, Arkansas years ago and fell in love with so many people, watched the congregation there grow and flourish for a few years. To still stay in contact with so many of those that were young people at that time, and to know that quite a few of them have remained faithful to the Lord, are precious memories. It's good, I think, sometimes to let our mind drift back through the old paths of memories of good days and good times when life was a lot less complicated and maybe a lot less stressful than it is today. Today it seems that all of us, regardless of how hard we try to do good and to do right, we live in a world that seems intent on bringing us to despair. You know, Paul talked about that in his lifetime when he said he gave a whole long list of all the things that he'd endured for the cause of Christ. He'd been in shipwreck, he'd been in prison, he'd been beaten, he'd been stoned. He'd even been in perils of false brethren. He had just lived a life of great turmoil. But one of the memories that Paul evidently hung on to that carried him down the old paths, he went down this road, and this is what he said. All these things, Paul said, that he had suffered, I consider them as nothing, that I might win Christ, that I might know his goodness and his holiness, his mercy and his grace. And I say to you this morning, this is a day, a weekend, that many people will remember. People in this nation who made a great sacrifice. Many who gave their lives physically to serve the country. Others came back wounded physically, emotionally, scarred for life. And it seems sometimes that when we have like Memorial Day or we say to some veteran, thank you for your service, that's such a small thing for such a big act. But I want us this morning to think for just a moment about some thoughts based on Ephesians chapter 4. And we will look at where Paul talks to us today about being the servant of the Lord. You realize that if you're a Christian today, you are a prisoner. Paul said he was the prisoner of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. He had been captured by the Lord. He had been bought out of death. He had been bought out of the prison of sin. And he had now become the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. One of the greatest problems in our world today is that many people call themselves Christians who are not worthy of the name. We read in the book of Revelation that there was a whole congregation of people, or most of them, We're not worthy of that name. In fact, John says, you have a name that is alive, but you are dead. You don't live up to that name. You see, the word Christian is a name that carries with it the idea of goodness and holiness and hope and mercy and grace. It brings a smile to our face when we think of how much God loves us. The awesome sacrifice that Jesus made at Calvary to give us the atonement for our sins and the hope of eternal life. Now Paul says, walk like this, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Look at those words for a minute. In lowliness of heart or mind. Don't be stuck on yourself. Don't consider yourself to be somebody coming. But realize, as Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Forever be humbled by the realization that my only hope of eternal life is to get over me and to adore Him. We have said many times the best definition I've ever seen for the word meekness. Moses was called the meekest man. That meekness was displayed when he was leading the children of Israel toward the promised land, and they had rebelled and sinned, and God was about to destroy them. And Moses stepped up between them and the Lord to say, Lord, if you're going to destroy them, you'll have to destroy me with them, because you commissioned me to lead them to this land. Meekness is the ability to see something greater than I am, and to lose myself in a cause that is more valuable, more precious than life itself. So walk in all lowliness and meekness with long suffering. Quit telling everybody how bad you got it. Whatever comes your way, it is not that other people haven't been through it or been through something worse. Endure the things that come, because when the morning comes, it'll all be worth it. Whatever you've dealt with in this life, if you hold to God's unchanging hand, then there will come a day when all pain and all the anguish will go away, and you'll be able to hear Him say, enter thou in through the joys of life. Now, to do all of this, you got to put up with other people. You ever heard anybody say, this would be a great world if there wasn't any people in it? Well, it'd be kind of lonely. But Paul is saying here, as you go through this earth and through this life, people become our greatest temptation. They can test our patience. They can test our resolve. They can make us do things we said we would never do. Paul said, don't let that happen. Forbear one another in love, realizing that everyone that we meet is made in the image of an Almighty God. And it is our mission to lead them to Christ. Now listen as Paul kind of begins to sum this up in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Wouldn't it be great if everybody got along? Wouldn't it be good if everybody was happy? Wouldn't it be good if there was none of this, the feeling that we know somebody's after us, they're trying to undermine whatever it is we want to accomplish? Wouldn't it be great if everybody just wanted to do the right thing? Well, Paul said, you must make that effort. He didn't say you can do it by yourself, but you endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Don't be a troublemaker. Don't be angry. And when we learn these lessons, then we're ready for the first time in our life to really understand what it means to be a Christian. And so we come to the next few verses. I'm going to read these verses, and then we'll probably only get to a couple of them this morning. But beginning in verse 4, Paul says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now look at that last verse we read. It doesn't depend today on how smart you are, how talented you are, how rich you may be, what awards you may win in life. God will bless you according to what you need if you'll just give your life to Him. Now here are the keys to walking this life. We must understand there is one body. I suggest to you today, and this may be the only one we cover today, that the biggest problem in the world today is that men do not understand that they cannot serve God, they cannot worship God, they cannot please God, they cannot be right with God, they cannot find a right to the tree of life unless they understand that there is one body. Jesus, as he walked upon this earth, as he was teaching his disciples, he said, by this shall the world know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. He called for unity and oneness, that his disciples should be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. If you want to know today why there are so many people in our world who do not believe in Jesus, who have no regard for Christianity, it is because they see the hypocrisy in those who claim to be Christians, who say, I believe this, you believe that, others believe this over here, and it's okay. It doesn't matter what you believe. We're all free to choose. Christianity is not a consumer religion. How many of you ever go to the grocery store? The bigger the store, the more choices you have. Go to a big store like Walmart, especially the bigger ones, and you can go and find a whole lot that has nothing on it but washing. I used to say washing powder, but now they got liquids and other things. But they've all got different names, different brands. One said to clean in cold water. Others say you need hot water. Some say it's good for this, others for that. But everyone claims to be for the same purpose. And there must be a lot of people who like different things in the idea of washing their clothes, because there are a lot of different cleaning that make a living. You can go and find many different brands of green beans, corn, and you're free to choose whichever brand you want. Some make it by choice, by taste, some make it by cost. Make your choice. But when it comes about where you go to serve the Lord never gave you but one choice. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 16. When he was speaking to his disciples, he asked the question. He said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." You know, there are many people today who believe that that promise that Jesus made is yet to be kept. There are many people today who tell me, well, the Lord wanted to set up his kingdom, but man wouldn't let him. And so he went back to earth, and he'll come back someday and set his kingdom up. I don't mean to be rude or hateful to anybody, but when some human being tells me that one man or a group of men were ever powerful enough to defeat the plan of the Lord, I find that highly offensive to the power and the goodness of God. What God does not depend upon what men want or what men say. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And when he made a promise, he kept it. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples, recorded in Mark chapter 24, that there were some of them who would not taste of death until they should see the kingdom come with power. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that that power was to come with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. It came in the form, the Bible says it was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house wherein they were sitting. And cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each one of the apostles, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them power. Peter went on to preach what Jesus had said they would preach. Repentance and remission of sins in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. And when those people on the day of Pentecost heard that, and they were pricked in their hearts and came and said, "What shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." As many as gladly received the word were baptized. And the Lord added unto them such as were being saved. Later in the close of that chapter, the Bible goes on to say in verse 47, "And every day after, all those who obeyed were added to the church." In Acts chapter 20, Paul, speaking to the elders from the city of Ephesus, said that he had purchased it with his own blood. It was his. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 23 and following, the Bible tells us that we receive a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Who is receiving that kingdom? The writer of the Hebrew letter says those who are in the church of the Lord. Today, people believe many things. But until we understand that Jesus came to give us a way out of sin and death and to give us an avenue to make heaven our home. Years ago, God told Noah that there would be a flood, that he would destroy the earth by flood. But Noah was a righteous man, and the Lord said to him, "You build an ark." And he built that ark. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11 that in that ark, few, that is eight souls, were saved by water, or in Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 3. And Peter then declares a like figure whereunto, even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of flesh, but an answer to good conscience toward God. We sing a song that we ought to sing more often. There is power in the blood. You see the mission today of God's people. We were talking again in class this morning. Why is it that so few people come to worship into the Lord? And the real reason is they don't understand the power of the blood of Christ. They don't understand that the church is a blood-bought institution, bought with his own precious blood. And that only those who are washed in the blood and added to his family can someday hear him say, "Well done." The message today needs to be preached throughout our world. Unity. Back to Christ. Back to obedience to the Word of God. Back to the old path wherein is the good way. And people need to learn to say, "We will," not "we won't." We will not walk therein is a dangerous place to be. So it is our plea that everywhere today that men would hear the call of the gospel, that they would turn to Christ in faith, repentance, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. They might be added to his precious body and have a right to the tree of life. Let's stand together and sing.
I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. For precious blood.